I think that didn't help, that people were saying, okay, I better do a good job because we don't know how companies are gonna. We're in a lucky situation that we were able to communicate even as of this morning that we are on a good place and we wouldn't be doing layoffs. But I think there is the fear, so that doesn't contribute for people feeling the freedom to take time off.
Welcome to Be More, a podcast by Peakon. This is where everyone at an organization can hear different and meaningful perspectives on how we can all thrive in this ever-changing and constantly evolving world of work. I'm your host, Patrick Cornoyer. Last week, I had a conversation with a leader who was really struggling with the pressure of supporting their team. We had a frank conversation about the challenge that many leaders are feeling right now. These conversations are happening in all of our organizations, and they're increasing. I love to see creative ideas that organizations are taking to help support their leaders, and my guest today has been driving creative thought for over 20 years. Adriana Bokeel is currently the Chief People Officer at Pega. She's also a lecturer at MIT's Sloan School of Management, where she completed her own MBA, and she is a member of the MIT Women Alumni Team. Adriana, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Patrick. It's a pleasure.
So let's start out with a brief overview of what Pega does as an organization.
Sure. Thank you, Patrick. Pega is a technology company based in Massachusetts. And what we focus on is digital transformation, how we connect our clients to their customers. And especially now in the time of COVID, that became even more important. And so we are working diligently to really help those clients connect to people who are now at home. And that became an even more important aspect of what we do.
And how many employees do you have and where are they located in the world?
So we have around the world close to 6,000.
So that adds a certain level of complexity in and of itself with having thousands of employees that are located in different countries around the world. But we'll talk about that in just a minute. So as I said, I've been having these conversations. I'm sure you're having these conversations on a very regular basis with your leaders in your organization. There is a significant challenge that is just building right now for people leaders in businesses. And not only is there a need for those people leaders to support their teams and their individuals on their teams, but really to support themselves as well. And maybe 6 to 8 months ago, we thought that by the end of 2020, we would be able to start seeing a light at the end of the tunnel and there was maybe some going back to a normal, some sort of a normal environment or expectations. But for at least the next 12 to 18 months, it's probably not going to happen. So from your perspective as having over two decades of experience with people leadership, leading creative thought at organizations, what do you think is the biggest challenge right now that is facing people leaders?
So there are many, as you mentioned, and I would say probably the most complex one is our organization, and I think that's true to many global organizations, are truly diverse organizations. You have millennials, you have baby boomers, you have different countries. So the complexity of people being very diverse. So when I see my own team, I have people in different countries. I have people in different genders. I have people in different nationalities. So everybody today is struggling with different things. So as a leader, trying to meet their employee needs, as well as looking at how can I manage my team as a team, but each individual as an individual. So people are struggling. I have parents with small kids. I have parents with grown-up kids living in different countries. So the realities of my teams, and I think that's the reality of many leaders, are just different. How do you cope and how do you help your employees with their individual needs while you still need to be able to get your work done and make sure that the business is moving forward?
So along those lines, there's this additional level of complexity, which is them taking care of themselves, right? So they're taking care of their teams, they're taking care of the individual needs of their teams, which that in and of itself is incredibly complex, because if you have a team of even 10 people, those are 10 different individual needs, right, that you're having to manage. How do you see people putting themselves as a priority or putting themselves first? You recently wrote an article around caring for ourselves inside and outside and putting ourselves first. How do you see that factoring into this equation right now?
I see that as a challenge. I think we are, as culturally, we have been always told to look at to the others, take care of others first. And I think that is something difficult. If we are not well as individuals, it's really hard to take care of others. And that could be your immediate family, it could be your people at work. So I think one great example that we try to use also in trainings to leaders is the example of about the mask. You should put your oxygen mask first before you put it to somebody else. Because if you're not well, you can't provide that support to others around you. But I think it is something that we all have to challenge ourselves, because I think culturally we are told on a daily basis you need to look at the others. And I think finding that right balance, that of course we should be there for each other, but in order for you to be able to do that, you need to be well. And that also means different things to different people. Some are doing more meditation, some need to go and do more exercise. So have that understanding that what means being well for you might be different than what means being well for me.
You've taken quite a bit of active or have taken a very active role as an organization to create a supportive environment for the Pega team and your employees around the world. And I was quite inspired in reading some of these creative ideas that are probably not easy to implement and have had a lot of specific thought around how they're going to impact a supportive culture and a supportive environment. Could you talk us through some of those initiatives that you've implemented and some of the success that you've had with them?
Sure. So I would say to start is really trying to get a feeling for how the employees are feeling and what would help them. What you think sometimes helps people might not be actually what helps people. So trying to understand and have what I call some ambassadors are in the field to help us really implement the things that could help at least the majority of the people. So one of the things I would say was probably the most received and most used was the implementation of a meditation app. I think until today, this has now been for almost 6 months that we did that. And until today, we see people mentioning in blogs, we see people using it. We have lots of what we call team chats and people using it and mentioning again. So I think some of it was a little luck, because you don't know. This is such an unprecedented situation. So you needed to do some trial and error, I would say. I don't think even my long experience really tells me 100% what to do and if it will be successful or not. So, and we have tried things that we thought would be great that some people use. So we had a fitness app that we implement and we have people using it, but it is the minority, I think, because people feel fit differently. And I think a lot of people, especially because we are so confined at home, wanted to be outside. Using an app wasn't probably what people's first choice. So I think some of it, we just saw it, and some you have to try. I think the reality for a company like us, Patrick, is like, we don't have like so much money that we can just put more and more. So we have to be thoughtful on how we're going to use our resources, knowing that some of our competitors have a lot more resources, and how can we still be able to support with our employees with what we have. And most important, I think, honestly, one thing is the financial support that we are able to provide in some cases, but I think is the focus that they know that we are on their side and that we are willing to compromise or really take into consideration some of the personal situations. We have done what I think probably is most impactful to a group of people was an employee fund, where we saw lots of people losing, if there wasn't us as an employees, but their partners or immediate family losing their jobs because of COVID. And we are able to help with additional financial means to help them get up to speed again or be more of a smooth transition until they find a new role. So those are the things that I think came through conversations with employees, where leaders were listening or hearing, and us as an organization trying to support the broader good as well with additional donations and things that we saw the world could benefit from in addition to our own employees, because we have many employees donating money to those causes as well as to the employee fund. So that was a support from the employee. So Pega matched every single dollar, but that was also something we saw lots of engagement of employees who had more means, really wanting to contribute and help the people around the world that were in a different situations than we are.
I love that idea of employees stepping up in a time where it's could be a bit hard for them too, but being able to know that there's somebody else in their team that maybe they probably don't know, but they know that they're part of a global organization and a global team. And this idea of stepping up to help people has really come forward in many organizations. And in this conversation that I was having with this leader, we were talking a bit about support networks. And I know that you've also done quite a bit of work around creating internal networks with caregivers and parenting and working parents. And can you tell me about those networks and how they've been successful with connecting people that have similar challenges?
Sure. I think it got to a point in our journey of trying to help employees with COVID that we realize a lot of what we can do is just to show that we see them, we understand them, because people are in different situations. Small kids need different type of support than a teen or a student who are back from college. So really, we felt almost a little bit powerless because we just didn't know what else to offer that we could meet most of the needs of our broader workforce. So in this case, the idea was one of the things people have that we have is the opportunity to connect the people. So we did a working parents network. And I was just, before I joined here, I was just there listening and hearing. That's so inspiring. I think it helps put people things into perspective too. I think we all have bad days and we can realize that some people are really struggling much more than we are. And maybe a word of support, a word of understanding goes a long way. And I think that's where we saw that continuing. It's really vivid. It's really like people contributing. So after that, we heard that there was a need of people that have working parents that have children with disabilities, or even adults. They are caregivers of adults with disabilities. So we created a side conversation to allow that to happen, and also that people felt more supported as well. And there's lots of tips and a lot of recommendations. And I think more than anything, I think is people know they are being listened to and that we care. And there's many people around the world that share some of their experiences and can participate of what they are going through as a family or as individuals.
I really love that aspect about connecting parents that have children with special needs and how they're managing through this. My sister, one of my nephews, is a special needs child, and he is going through figuring out how to have remote school, and it's super hard and doesn't understand why he can't go to school because he loves to go to school and be with his kids. And, you know, my sister's home working 2 days in the office and is home and trying to manage all of this. And it's a lot. It creates stress. It creates anxiety. And so being able to connect people with a common need of support, I think is a really powerful aspect. And you bring up an excellent point. And I think many organizations are getting to this point where they feel that they're doing so much and they don't really know what else to do. And being able to put it out to the 6,000 people or 2,200 people that are at their organization to help them and to help each other, the weight doesn't always just sit on an organization to do everything, right? Like employees are really stepping up right now and becoming the support systems that we need. So I'm curious to hear your perspective on taking time away from work. One thing that is becoming a bigger challenge is being able to step away and truly disconnect when we are in these distance work environments, working from home. There's some mixed emotions around the term work from home and remote work. But however we look at it, we're not in the work office and our work lives and our personal lives are just have been blurred into one. What is your perspective on how do you see people taking time away? Do you see it becoming more challenging for people? How are you handling that, or how are you approaching time away from work?
Yeah, that's probably, I would say, one of the things we have been challenged the most with. I think around the summertime in the US, which is not summer in other parts of the world, that's, I think, 3 or 4 months have passed with COVID. We did an analysis of how many people have taken time off between March and June. And we had 1/3 of the days off that normally we had on the prior years. And I think that was really an aha moment for us to realize, okay, people will get to a burnout situation if they don't take time off. And of course, at that time, summer plans were starting to fall apart. We were learning that camps weren't going to happen. So we were able to do a lot of campaigns to some extent. Patrick, I think that is also something we are not in a group or an environment. We do have a lot of people who are high performers and people want to do a good job. And so I think people overstress themselves, and I probably belong to one of those. And the reality is sometimes I think the fact that so many people, especially like around May, June, we saw a lot of people losing their jobs. I think that didn't help, that people were saying, okay, I better do a good job because we don't know how companies are going to go. And we saw more and more coming over after the summer. So we are in a lucky situation that we were able to communicate even as of this morning that we are on a good place and we wouldn't be doing layoffs. But I think there is the fear, so that doesn't contribute for people feeling the freedom to take time off. So every company call that we had, we were doing check-in calls on a monthly basis. First, we start on a weekly basis, then we move that to every 2 weeks, and now we do it on a monthly basis, really telling people that's okay. We made commitments to the organization that we are going to take each one of us in the executive team, made commitments to our own function to take time off and not to connect. So I think we all try our best. I don't think, and I can say for myself, I'm not the best role model on that as well. I just love what I do. And sometimes it's hard to just connect. But I also know that I can be a bad influence to my team if I don't disconnect, even though I don't expect that from them. I think I remember when I was in their shoes that often I was saying, oh, if I'm getting emails on somebody's vacation, then maybe that person expects me to do the same. So I try to take that into consideration. I personally am very open to my own team that even when I send emails in the evening or on the weekend, it's just because it works for me personally, but I don't expect them. And like I remember starting at Pega 2.5 years ago, and that's how I led my first meeting with my entire function, with some of who I am, and that's part of who I am, but I don't expect. And I tell people, if I need something from you, I will find you. And email is for me just one part of how I work. But I do, and I think honestly, that one specific is something that it's very individual. People work differently and function differently. And I think some acceptance as well that people will have different sources and types of motivation and rewards. And honestly, some is what they can do. Some people are taking time off because they need to be available for their child to do some remote work. but they still want to be connected. So it's not that, I don't think vacations nowadays at this point are really the same vacations people had in the past. So I try to be at least open that people's reality have changed. And as long as people are taking time off and disconnecting, then that might be different things to different people. One thing we did, and we are going to do it for the rest of the COVID where we are home, is to have days where we say no regular meeting days. I know other companies have done no days, like 3 days or Fridays off. We weren't able to accommodate that, but we now have every month a day where we say no regular meetings or no big meetings. So people at least can have a bit less of Zoom time or WebEx time and spend more time maybe doing some work on the emails or thinking more strategically, which is really difficult if you are 9 to 9 or 8 to 8 on video calls.
There's a couple of things in there that are very good suggestions for the audience. The first one is just, you know, setting clear expectations about what works for you. It doesn't mean that it has to work for everybody on your team. And particularly now when emails, like you said, you may be going through emails at 8 o'clock at night because you had something going on in the afternoon, or maybe on Sundays how you prepare, but that's how you work. And that doesn't mean that your team needs to work the way how you work, right? So I think that's a great pointer. The second takeaway that I heard in there, and I've been guilty of this in the past, is truly taking time away when you're on holiday or when you're away. Just really disconnect. And not only from the personal perspective of not answering emails or not checking Slack or and leading by example with that, but all of us realizing that we are, I read this statement recently and it really resonated with me. We're tenants of other people's time right now. When somebody on our team goes away on vacation, like actively making the conscious effort to not email them, to not copy them in an email, to not Slack them or send them a message, because even a message saying, don't look at this until you come back from holiday, they're going to look at it, yes. Right? So that's a good suggestion for people to keep in mind is it's, if anything now, we're just ending Mental Health Awareness Month, right? And if anything right now, being able to truly disconnect, if you're on holiday or on vacation and you're able to step away, A, allowing yourself to do that, but B, your peers or your leaders allowing you to do that too, could not be more important than it is right now and will be for the future.
That's great. And I just had a similar, so I have one of my high performers on vacation. And I sent something to her yesterday and I did the option on the email where I send it to the day after she comes back. Not Perfect. Even on the day she comes back, because we know how it is to come back to 200 emails. Wasn't very important. And I didn't think she needed to worry about when she was on vacation. But you need to make that as a conscious effort to make those happen, especially now. You're right.
Well, Adriana, thank you for the creative ideas that you're doing at Pega. It's clearly making a difference with your team. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and insights. I feel that at a time when we're all struggling to do the best for our companies, do the best really for our people, getting ideas and hearing what works and what doesn't work at organizations is really helping people just to think a little bit more about what they're doing and how it's impacting their people, because we have long future ahead of us of having to remain creative, because what's working today is not what was working for us 7-8 months ago. And 6 months in the future, we may have to be resetting what we're doing today.
In this, I would say, Patrick, is probably the biggest struggles for companies.
Yeah.
It's because you have employees who really want to get some certainty. Right. And we can't really, because we don't have that certainty for ourselves either. But how can we make sure we give some certainty with all the uncertainties that we have around offices and working from home and all the other things that people want to move away from close to the office because it's cheaper? There are just so many side parts that I think is really critical that we continue the conversations with our teams to ensure that we are adapting as the world is becoming a bit more secure or insecure, who knows, but as the situation changes.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. Adriana, thank you for spending some time with me today. I have greatly enjoyed the conversation, and thank you for inspiring us to be creative with our thought, but also be patient with ourselves, because like you said, uncertainty is here and it's here for the future, and we just have to work through it the best that we can. So thank you for spending some time with me today.
You're welcome.
And that was Be More, a podcast by Peakon. Be sure to search for Be More in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or anywhere else that you get your podcasts from. And go ahead and subscribe so that you don't miss out on any future conversations. On behalf of the team here at Peakon, thanks for listening.